If heaven and earth are connected, where is the intersection? Those are the kinds of things I think about when I'm out riding my bicycle. Anybody a bike rider? Anybody else like to go for nice long rides? Where is the intersection? If we talk about heaven and earth, where does one end and the other begin? Have you ever thought about it? Or the concept or your own ideas about what heaven might be? If heaven is a geographical location and getting there is an act somehow, a physical act, is it like crossing a state line, I wonder? You know, it's kind of an arbitrary change of location, but there's a sign marking it. You're moving from New York to Vermont or whatever the case is, and you're not there, and now you're there. If heaven is a place, how do you know when you've arrived? I have come to the conclusion, as a grown-up, had to undo some previous training. Won't name any particular faith tradition specifically, but there were some stories that I heard when I was young, when I went to church, and I had to figure it out on my own over time. Lots of practicing, lots of listening, lots of experiencing life. And what I've come to understand, or believe, I should say, is that heaven is not out there, the idea of heaven. It's not actually anywhere. It's not a place. It is a condition of being. A condition of being. And I don't mean, you know, you sort of the way you might swoon when you're eating a hot fudge sundae and you're like, oh, heaven, this is heaven. We say that about a lot of things in life for sure. And there are a lot of heavenly-ish things that we experience. But one of the things that I really have come to believe that heaven is a condition that we create with our own lives right here, right now. And it largely exists in the ways in which we care about and treat each other as humans. We build heaven with our own lives, right here, right now. Years ago, when I was younger, a teacher, had my summers off, I just traveled during the summer, had a little truck, a tent, a mountain bike, went all over this country. Back when we were using paper maps, anybody miss them? I don't know how we did it, but paper maps and humans, other humans, to give directions. I mean, it's kind of nice. You'd have to stop and ask, right? It's usually a gas station. How do I get where I'm going? But what I found during that time of life when I was doing a lot of traveling like that was that people were so incredibly kind. Everywhere I went, anytime I was lost or in need of help or guidance or suggestion, and I met somebody or ran into someone at a rest stop or at a diner or wherever it was, people were so helpful and kind and very often offered something much more than just this is how you get to the next place you're going. You know, do you need a place to stay? Do you want to put your tent on our lawn? What do you need? How can we help? Strangers turning themselves into not strangers, I can say unequivocally, was a version of heaven. The kindness, especially I think when it's unexpected, the kindness of someone you've never met and you might not even see for that long, it is a kind of heaven, that pleasant surprise of how truly great almost all human beings are. How truly, truly great. And who am I to judge? But I like to believe in the goodness of humanity. I think of the many times in my life when I needed help and it showed up in one form or another. Usually, almost always, in the form of someone who showed up and said, "What can I do to help you?" The most extreme case, no doubt, was the month or so I spent in the hospital when I was 21. And the people who showed up during that time, just hearing through the grapevine what was going on, and showed up endlessly for me during that very difficult time. That feeling of being deeply loved, the feeling that you matter, and the understanding that people in this world have your back, that to me is heaven. That is probably the most important version of the idea of heaven that we create with our lives. That endlessly beautiful surprise of how humans treat each other, especially when the chips are down. Loving kindness is most definitely a version of heaven. And I don't want to sound overly saccharine. I know it's very possible this morning. But when I was reflecting on these last 7 months, I absolutely came to the conclusion that what this is right here is a small plot of heaven. Darn it. I said I wasn't going to cry. I think that when I got here, many among us had lost track of that vision. I think your vision for many of you and also collectively was blurred from grief and too much change in a short time. But I, as an outsider, a really, really, really outsider, I saw it almost right away. And in our 7 months together, I watched it grow. I saw it. I was aware of it, and I watched this beautiful thing grow during my time here. I was totally a stranger to almost all of you when I got here 7 months ago. I had never served a Unitarian Universalist congregation. I had never served as an interim. I came to you licensed and not ordained, and I wasn't even licensed at the time because that's how the UCC operates. Formed entirely by a different tradition with absolutely no history in this place or in this congregation and no claim whatsoever to your trust. You had no reason, really, to believe that this was going to be okay, but somehow you did. Some of you were rightfully reluctant. You had very good reason to be reluctant because you had lived through some very difficult things. And I don't need to name them. You know what they are. And you had made it through them. There was anger and grief and disbelief and sorrow in this room. You had sold your building. You packed up. You watched the sale collapse. You had to move back into the space, blah, blah, blah. A lot of physical and emotional labor were spent during that time navigating all of the really, really profound changes that you were faced with. And when you needed an interim, there was no smooth, credentialed match waiting out there somewhere to show up and do that work with you. What you had instead was an offer from someone outside your tradition entirely and a choice. You had a choice about whether or not to take that offer. And you took it, even though you were in many ways on shaky ground at the time. So I think that you need to congratulate yourselves today as we close down our time together. And this is the reason why. This is why this is really important. Because in the future, when the going gets rough again, because it will, that's the nature of life. There will be another time when the going will get rough for this congregation. You can look back on this particular moment in time and know what's possible and know what you're made of. That's how it works. How did I get through something difficult in the past? That's how I get through something difficult now. So this moment in time gives you the information that you need that will help you down the road when things get dicey again. They will. There is no guarantee, as we know, that life is smooth sailing. It just doesn't happen that way. I saw beautiful, beautiful things. And I think my role, my sort of vantage point as an outsider allowed me to do this. I saw in each and every one of you, especially individually, I was so fortunate to meet with so many of you individually to come to know your stories. And I saw the light. I saw the light. I heard the stories. And the fact that you chose to shine that light in my direction at a difficult time allowed us collectively to make that light even brighter. Right? Each one of us has a small light, but when we come together and share our light and join our light and give our light freely, we really, really glow. Do you ever put like a whole bunch of fireflies in a jar? It's pretty great, right? There is a simple story. I mean, there's so many stories that I could draw from sacred scripture to remind us of what's happening. There's the beautiful parable of the talents, which some of you might be familiar with. It's a story where a man gives to, I believe it's three servants, a sum of money. And each one of them does something slightly different with it. But one of them decides to bury it in the ground to keep it safe. And then the others risk, they take a risk with what they have, and then it grows and good things happen. So it's a parable that doesn't reward caution. It reminds us that we should try to have a willingness to risk what we've been entrusted with, even when the possibility of loss exists, to take risks in life. Because why not, right? It's worth it. You never know. You could have buried your congregation's future in a kind of caution. It would have made sense. You could have waited longer for someone else with a Unitarian Universalist credential to come along. You could have let the vacancy here stretch until the right person came, but you didn't. And you know what? I think that's cool, quite frankly. What you did was really cool, that you hired me when you did. There is no congregation on this planet that's held together by certainty, not one. They are all held together by people who are willing to keep choosing each other under uncertain conditions. It's kind of what a congregation is, if you think about it. They're willing to keep choosing each other under endlessly uncertain conditions in life. Ultimately, that is how it really works. Having the courage every day, this is how life goes. Having the courage to start a new day, even though you don't really know what's up ahead on any given day, right? You just don't know. You probably have plans for the day. You probably have routines that you follow on a regular basis. But we know, if we've lived long enough, that all of that is a kind of folly. Because life almost always has other ideas. Things will happen all the time that we don't plan for, we didn't expect, and a lot of the time we certainly don't want to have happen. So this reminds us, here now reminds us, of the beauty and the willingness to step into the unknown. You did it here with me, and you're doing it now in your next steps where you're moving. Do it with grace. That would be my one request in leaving, is keep moving forward with all of the grace that you have given me during my time here. All of the kindness, all of the love, your time, your stories, your history, all of it. What I found in all of my interactions here was an absolutely beautiful humanity. And you guys know this. I'm sorry. It has actually made me wonder if, like, being a minister for 7 months is, like, the best idea. Because it's long enough to get a lot of things done. But it's not long enough so that we start to, like, get tired of each other. Maybe that's the way it should be done. We should suggest this at the upper levels, right? You allowed me to be here. You let me be myself. You open the door, you open your heart. Just allow that to keep teaching you something about trusting your gut, about widening the lens, about perhaps the cross-pollination of faith traditions. Heaven is not a faraway place. There is no ticket to admission. It is not an exclusive club for the well-behaved. It is a condition and a choice. It is a condition and a choice. And we make this choice daily by deciding how to act, how to respond to what life is giving us. We have the opportunity every single day to build on earth as it is in heaven. Will I be kind? Will I say and do helpful things? Will I contribute to the pain of the world? Or will I try to mitigate at least some of it? These are my choices every single day. There are absolutely many days when life on earth can be hell. But we have freedom. We have our intellect. We have our hearts. We have our faith. And we have this community. It gives us the opportunity to continually build heaven right here, right now. One of my favorite passages from sacred scriptures is the passage from Luke 17. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." It's you. It's every single one of you and the choices that you make. So thank you all so very much for creating together with me during this time a version of heaven right here in this funky old building on North Broadway in Saratoga and out there in the larger community. Thank you for welcoming a local kid home, which is what you did. Many of you know this is my hometown. I grew up here. I love this place. My parents are still here. Thank you all for sharing your stories and for trusting me with your sorrows. Thank you for all the laughs that we have had. There are some good joke tellers among us. You know who you are. I have loved being your temporary minister. I have loved it. And now I will love being your friend. And you are in really, really, really beautiful and capable hands with Rev Viola. I know that to be true. So there are many, many ways to say goodbye. It's true. I have been fortunate in my lifetime to spend some time in the Taos part of New Mexico where I met a couple of wonderful Tiwa Indians who are very talented jewelry makers. And one time when I was leaving, my friend Standing Deer said, "We don't say goodbye. We only say, 'I'll see you later.'" And I will.